My guest at this time is Harry Mihet, Senior Litigation Counsel at Liberty Counsel. We want to get Harry's thoughts today as the first U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals strikes down the Defense of Marriage Act, saying it is unconstitutional to deny federal benefits to legally married gay couples in states where gay marriage is legal. Of course, as a result of the Defense of Marriage Act, the federal government officially recognizes only the union of one man and one woman as a marriage in this country. There were other issues related to the Defense of Marriage Act that the court did not take up, and we'll talk about those as well. Harry, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg, for having me with you.
The court basically saying, if you're married, you're married. What's your reaction to their decision today?
Well, it's an outrageous decision, Greg, because what the First Circuit appears to be saying is that states are free and remain free to define marriage for themselves, but somehow the federal government lacks that same ability to decide for itself which marriages it will validate and which it will not. The judges appear to be telling the federal government that they must yield their authority to any one particular state, so that if a marriage is valid in one state, it must be recognized and funded by the federal government.
And so you see a disconnect then between the court letting stand and not really considering the issue of the Defense of Marriage Act allowing states to define marriage for itself, not being forced to recognize gay marriages performed in other states. But now there's apparently a different approach from the courts on the federal definition of marriage. What does that mean and now in terms of setting up an appeal?
Well, you know, the court did not decide that homosexual marriage is a fundamental right that cannot be interfered with. It specifically left open the possibility that states would ban or would continue to ban homosexual marriage, just like at least 31 states have already done. And so this decision clearly does not make any logical sense, and it is just another example of an outcome-driven decision. The justices knew what outcome they wanted to reach, and so did whatever logical or illogical leaps were necessary to get to that result. I believe this decision ultimately will be reversed by the Supreme Court when it decides to review the case.
Two of the three appeals judges in this case were appointed by Republicans. Does that surprise you then that they were unanimous in this decision?
It doesn't surprise me because this was the First Circuit Court of Appeals, which is right next to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in terms of how liberal and illogical its decisions are, and also how often they are reversed by the Supreme Court for that reason.
We also know, of course, that the Obama administration has stopped actively defending the Defense of Marriage Act. Some, of course, have said that's a dereliction of duty, basically, since it's the executive branch's job to enforce existing laws. Others on the side of traditional marriage say that's actually a good thing because now people who are actually genuinely interested in defending traditional marriage are out there defending it, led by Paul Clement in some of the most prominent cases. What do you make of that, and how does that impact how this case turns out, do you think?
Well, it's both a bad thing and a good thing, as you mentioned. Clearly, the President of the United States, his job is to enforce the law. This was a law that was passed with bipartisan support and signed into law by a Democratic President, Bill Clinton. The President of the United States doesn't get to pick and choose, as a matter of constitutional law, which law he will enforce and which law he will not enforce. And so that is a clear dereliction of duty. But as you mentioned, one that ended up working out for the best in this case. Not that it excuses it, but just goes to show you that good can come out of bad, and it often does. The legal team that is in charge of the case right now, Paul Clement, is doing a fantastic job under the circumstances. I believe that they will take this case up to the Supreme Court and that the court will right this wrong.
Harry, you seem confident that the Supreme Court will side with your position on this issue eventually. But if it does not, what's the impact on our nation, on our finances, on our culture, if in fact the appellate decision is upheld?
Well, basically, if the appellate decision is upheld, it would require Americans to fund homosexual marriage, whether they agree with it or not. Because by recognizing homosexual marriage and putting it on par with traditional, natural, organic marriage between a man and a woman, the government is going to bestow tax benefits and all kinds of other benefits on these combinations, and they will be directly funded by the rest of us taxpayers who may have a strong moral objection to homosexual marriage. And so that's why this decision cannot stand and that it must be reversed. This decision also underscores the need for states to continue to do whatever they can to protect marriage for themselves. They still have that right even under this decision. And unless they do it, it remains open to revision by these kinds of activist courts.
Harry, several years ago, we usually got kind of a mixed bag of judicial decisions from state Supreme Courts and other state courts, ultimately deciding at that time whether or not gay marriage would be legalized. Now it's become more of a legislative issue. And also lately in the federal courts, it seems like most of the decisions are coming down one-sided. Is it a result of where these cases are being heard, or do you sense kind of an emerging consensus, perhaps, in the legal opinion?
No, it's not a consensus at all, Greg. It is a matter of where these cases are being heard. You know, the plaintiffs get to choose their forum, and they are clever plaintiffs, and so they are choosing forums like San Francisco in the Ninth Circuit and Boston, Massachusetts in the First Circuit, which are way out of the mainstream of American thought, both on a political and judicial level. That is why we have the Supreme Court, that whose job is to harmonize those extreme circuits and bring them in line with the rest of the American mainstream. And we hope and we believe that that is what will happen here.
Last question before we let you go, Harry. You mentioned before that the First Circuit only dealt with one particular issue here and did not touch whether or not gay marriage was a constitutional right or the ability of the states to deny gay marriages performed in states where it's legal, but in their states it's not legal. How significant is it that the court did not touch those two issues?
Well, I think it's significant because it at least preserves the right of the states to decide for themselves what marriage is and what marriage should be. It also goes to undermine the decision of the court itself, because if a state has that power, then the federal government ought to have that power too, and it makes no sense to allow one state to define marriage not only for itself, but also for the federal government and for the rest of us. You can't subject marriage to the least common denominator, as this court has attempted to do.
Well, there's a lot of Supreme Court decisions we'll be looking forward to next month, and there's at least one more we'll be probably looking at in the next session, perhaps, and that's the appeal of the case we just got the verdict on today from the First Circuit. Harry, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Greg.
Harry Mehet is Senior Litigation Counsel at Liberty Counsel. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.